I want to read you one verse to get started. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Father, this morning, that's what we want to meditate on. What is truth? From your perspective, what is truth? I'm asking that you would open our hearts. I'm asking you to help us to see. I'm asking you to guide every word spoken and heard. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving each person here. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What did it take to get you here? What did it take to get you here? What did you have to go through to get where you are? Remember over in Matthew 25, Jesus said, in the end, all the people are going to be gathered, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. What do the sheep do? That's what sheep do? I'm sorry. We'll try again. It's okay. You just followed her. Okay. I ate the fruit she gave me, Lord. Okay. You ready? That's exactly what just happened. That's so funny. You were butting the head. Okay. What do sheep do? What do goats do? God wants to get rid of the butts. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. All of our life, we've known God is here. God loves us. He's after us. We need to follow him. But I'm busy. But there's this situation. But I don't feel like it. But I got to work. My boys came to me. John started it when he was about 15, maybe. And we lived over in Auburn Hills, Pontiac, whatever. And there was this restaurant called Blue Star Highway. You know, a little greasy spoon thing. And John had a friend that worked there, and he said, you ought to come get a job. John had delivered newspapers, and now he was, you know, in mowed yards, and now he's going to progress to getting a job of working somewhere. And he came to me, and I said, that's fine. I said, go there. So he goes there and talks to them, and they said, we're going to have to work Sundays. And he came back and said, they said I might have to work some Wednesday nights or Sundays. And I said, nope, not an option. We go to church. Not an option. But Dad, and we'd have to do it all the time. And I said, not an option. Do you know those five words? It is not an option. Do you know those five words? Are they in your life? Because there are some things that are not an option. It's not an option. Okay? It is not an option. Because if you allow it in your life, that one thing, it's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. It is going to keep you longer than you want to stay, and it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. It is not an option. It's not an option for me to look at a woman, even if she's got her clothes tattooed to her body and I don't even have to imagine what's under them. It's not an option. So that's why I say out loud as I'm driving down the street, nope, I only want Jesus living in me. I only want my wife and Jesus. That's what I say when I see women with, you know, clothes too low or too high or too close. You see, it's not an option. Because lust used to have the hold of me. Penthouse, Playboys, all that stuff. But it's not an option. Do you understand? That's why when I go to eat my Subway every day, I tell them, make sure you put double onion on there. I don't want some woman sneaking up kissing on me. I said, I got one wife for the rest of my life. So I want double onion. Put more onion on that thing. They ain't going to want to kiss me. See what I'm saying? I make a joke of it, but it's like, I'm being serious. It is not an option. There's things you have to set up in your life. It's not an option. What did it take to get you here? What did it take to get you here? You see, I want you to think about something. What we're going to talk about today is what is truth? In every situation, in every conversation, we get to eat, there is a lie and a truth. And we get to believe which one we choose. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? What truth are you right now believing? What lie are you right now believing? There are people that instantly get mad at me, like customers, because I don't say things. They think I said something I didn't say. Or I didn't say something they wanted to say. They call me, and I go, tub glaze, answering my phone about 200 or 300 times a day. Tub glaze. Well, they didn't hear it. One lady, she called me 3 times. And every time she called me, I could hear her voice, but obviously she couldn't hear mine. And I kept saying, tub glaze. Is somebody there? Each time she got madder. Is somebody there? Are you going to answer? Tub glaze! Tub glaze! I'm here! Hangs up, calls back. I could hear her voice, but she couldn't hear me. Now, anybody can't hear me, they must not be listening. Because I only have one volume. Even when I whisper, it's loud. Okay? So I called her back. I waited about 5 minutes. I figured, you know, let the phone lines calm down or whatever they needed to do. And I called her back. When I told her who I was, she was so mad at me. You didn't answer when I called. I said, ma'am, I answered. I could hear you. Here's what you said. I didn't say all the words you said, but here's what you said. Because it's not an option for me to talk like that anymore. Okay. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry that you couldn't hear me. I was answering, but the technology, it wasn't working. She gets to believe the truth of what I said, or she gets to believe a lie and want to believe that I just was trying to irritate her for some reason because I had too much work or something. I mean, what was she thinking? I don't know. Why would she think that? Everybody gets to believe a truth or a lie. What are you living? Because whatever you're believing is what you're living. Do you hear what I just said? What you are believing is what you are living. You know a very sad verse in the Bible that somebody was talking to me, and after I got away from them this week, this verse came to my mind, and it really, it's one of the sad verses in the Bible. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's some people that they've been searching for God, trying all these different religions, going around, trying to study, which, by the way, is going to mess you up. The reason I tell you to read this Bible is because this is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is truth. It's not my opinion. I didn't write it. It's not open to my interpretation or yours, but when you read it, it's truth. and it will set you free. If you don't read it, if you want your life to radically change, does anybody in here want their life to radically change? I'm going to tell you something. Start reading your Bible every day. Now, what part of this, just tell me what part of this if you're missing. I was a drug dealer, hair under my waist. Can you get it? Shaggy dog. Okay? Earring in my ear. $1,000 worth of drugs in my pocket when I meet Jesus. After I meet Jesus, yeah, I got rid of all that, but the problem is, I didn't go to his house. One of the first things you got to do is go to his house, church. I didn't go to his house for 10 months and 3 days. Now, Jesus came to live inside of me. I kept talking about him. I did read my Bible. But I kept hanging around the same people. So I kept doing a lot of the same stupid, low-life things. And though I knew some truth, I wasn't living the truth. It's not knowing truth. It's what are you living? Please look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. Here, would you like to use this? Okay. Proverbs 23, 7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, so are we. Did everybody in here come from made in the image of God, or is anybody in here that came from a monkey? I just need to know so I can help you. I just need to know. Does anybody came, you know, you evolved from lower, you know, some, you know, little amoeba and became a tadpole and grew up into a bullfrog and then you became a monkey and then you became an ape and then you became a person? Anybody have that kind of family tree? Okay. With all the fleas? Okay. So you were made in the image of God. So that means you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care if this looks, somebody else has got one of these that looks prettier than you. I mean, my head must be evolving. You know, it's becoming perfect because it's breaking out of my hair. My hair's going away so my perfect head can be shown. I'm being funny. Okay. Sorry, don't worry about it. I didn't quit my day job. Okay. It doesn't matter if somebody looks prettier than you do. You are made in the image of God. Al is made in the image of God. Whether somebody thinks he's pretty or not, whether somebody likes him or not, if somebody says, Al, you're stupid, God doesn't call him stupid. Does God call him stupid? I'm sorry? Help me? Then why do you believe it when somebody else does? Calls you that. Listen, dum-dum. Be quiet now. Give me a hug. All right. Okay. I am. There's less of me to love. You see my wife? Man, I'm telling you. I'm gonna keep that muzzle on her. I'm not gonna let her eat. Okay, she's looking good. But I told her she looked good before. I said, I keep telling her, there's less of you to love, babe. There's less of you to love. What are you believing? People say things to you. You hear things. What are you believing? And sometimes when people say stuff, we tell ourselves lies to believe that to make ourselves feel better. We need to find out what the truth is. Okay? Now you get to choose what you're going to believe is truth. I believe the Word of God is truth. That's what works for me. You can believe whatever it is you want to believe. I love the Word of God. That's what I choose to believe. We're going to talk about what is truth. We're just going to read some verses. If somebody has something to say, raise your hand. I might answer you. I didn't say I would, but I might. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you thinking in your heart? John, we already did that. What is truth? Philippians chapter 4. And we'll start with we're only going to do verse 8, but we're only going to do part of verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, go to the end of the verse, think on these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Now, we're going to start. Go to Matthew 22, and all the rest of the verses are going to be in order. Matthew 22, verse 16. Matthew 22, 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, talking to Jesus, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. In other words, it didn't matter if the people liked it or not. Jesus told them the truth. He spoke the way of truth. What is truth? Mark 5:33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Are we speaking the truth? Do we speak the truth to God? Before we keep going, I just want to give you a little thing. You might want to write it down. Learn to ask God questions. Learn to ask God questions. Like this. Father, what truth do you want me to focus on right now? Father, what truth do you want me to focus on right now? Don't tell God what you need. I mean, go ahead and tell him what you need. He cares. He's listening. He cares. But when you're done telling him all that, ask him questions. Okay, Father, what do I need? See, we want to pour out all this stuff and then try to get God to do what we want. And he's like, that's not what's best for you. I can't do that. I'm trying to get your attention. The reason I ask you, what is it that brought you here? What is it that caused you to finally come? Because what happens is, as long as things are going okay in our life, we kind of put God in the back shelf. We kind of put God in the trunk. He's our spare tire God. We don't talk to him. Unless we're going over a cliff. Help me! We kind of bury him in the trunk. We forget about him. We don't talk to him. We don't listen to him. And when we do hear him, but I've known this all my life. And what were you doing with it? Sheep follow, goats butt. I've been hearing him all my life, but I knew this, but I'm trying to help you in your everyday life to have peace, joy, fullness. Yes? Here's how it goes. Do you love Jesus? I mean, do you love Jesus? Do you want to live the Jesus life? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus? But do you find every day that you find yourself saying things you wish you hadn't said, doing things you wish you hadn't done, judging people, criticizing, condemning, complaining, arguing? Anybody ever? What is your choice? Not what is your flesh doing, what is coming out. What is your choice? Good. That's my choice. So watch. July 1st, I meet Jesus. April 3rd, I get in church. Finally. When I got in church, and I sat here every week, and I kept hearing the word being preached. Now, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Okay? So please forgive me for not having three services a week to speak to you at. Okay? Instead, we have 7 days a week that you could come in here, I think it is, or 6 days a week you could come in here and get spoken to, because Pastor Glenn and Roxanne are here all the time, and they'll read the Bible with you, pray with you, counsel with you. Okay? But we would go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And when we did, my preacher would get up and read the Word of God. And when he did, I kept hearing it and hearing it. Now I have a choice. Do I believe it? Yeah, I believe it. That's what I want. Now you need to learn to ask God a question. How do I live this? The very first thing you got to do is ask God, what's the baby step? What's the baby step? And for me, he said, you just need to be in church when the doors are open. So I made an eternal decision. Are you listening to me? I made an eternal decision in April of 1977. It was April 3rd, 1977, I made this decision. The first night I went to church, which was 5 minutes before church was over, I walked in, and then they ended church. Not because I walked in, it just happened to be. When I walked in, you know, oh no, he's here! End! Okay, no. And I made a decision, because we went over to, you know, I drove here from Phoenix, and the woman I was going to marry, who now you know as Sue, was there, and we left the church building, and we went to her mom's friend's house, and as we were sitting there, and I kept brushing my hair out of my eyes, you know, so remember I told you Shaggy Dog? Okay, if you need a picture, come up to me afterwards. I'll show it to you in the back of my Bible. And I brushed the hair, and the lady, who was real mouthy, said, you need a bobby pin to keep that hair out of your face. I thought, get this lady out of my face. I'm going to hit her, you know. Who are you? Get out of my life. So we're sitting there talking. All I wanted to do was touch Sue. You know what I'm saying? All I wanted to do was, yum, yum, yum. I hadn't seen her in a month. You know what I mean? All I could do was want to touch Sue. And the lady said, are you going to come to church? This is Sunday night now, okay, April 3rd. She goes, are you going to come to church on Wednesday? This lady I didn't like at all. I love her to pieces now. She's in heaven. But I loved her before she went to heaven. But I did. But her whole life, she was like a nail in the end of a stick for me. You know what I'm saying? She was like an irritant. Kind of like I am for a lot of you. You know what I'm saying? She was an irritant. She was just, but what she said I knew was true. But it was like, the way she said it. She was real, talk like that, you know. You've never had anybody in your life like that, have you? And I resemble that. Okay. And she said, are you going to come to church on Wednesday night? I said, Wednesday night? She said, wait. And here's what she said that never, it just, God spoke to me through this. And she said, we don't play church around here. We go every time the doors are open. Now, I didn't like the way she said it because it was like, we don't play church around here. We don't get the doors open. And I'm like, this lady, I love you, Mary. But I made a decision at that moment. And guess what? Every time you hear something, you make a decision what you're going to do with it. Are you going to move with it? Are you going to throw it away? Or are you just going to set it on a shelf? Yeah, that's true. I'll do it sometime. And then your life stays just like it is. I ask you, how many of you want your life to radically change? I'm giving you a hint. The lady said, are you going to come to church on Wednesday night? We don't play church around here. We go every time the door is open. And I made a decision. I'm going to go every time the door is open. Now, what if I told you, does anybody like to eat an Outback? A steaks, you know, blooming onion, and I don't want to talk about all this. If Janiah's around, she gets all, you know, licking her chops. She can't think about anything but that, you know. Does anybody like Outback? What if I told you I was going to take you, and whenever I go there, it costs a chunk of change, you know? And I always want to get an hors d'oeuvre, or whatever you call it, the first thing they send out, appetizer, and then I want to get the big salad with double stuff and less of the filler of the lettuce. I tell them it's no nutritional value, and I'm not a rabbit. So put all double of all that other stuff. They said, what do you want on it? I said, my teeth. And I just tell them everything, and if they say they don't have that, I said, I'll wait for you to send out for it, you know. And then I tell them to put double on there, and then dressing, put double on there. And then I want the hot bread with the butter. And then I tell them I want the steak. I always get the Outback special. I know all the rest of them are good, but I keep thinking I'm going to try something else. But I like the Outback special so much that I can't ever seem to try anything else because I already know what I like. And so I just get the Outback special, but I get the biggest one. And I already know I'm going to get half of what Sue eats, you know, because she only eats half. And then I get through eating, you know. We've already eaten the Bloomin' Onion with that nice dip, you know. And then the hot bread while we're waiting on the salad. And then the salad with all the double stuff and the double dressing. And then the big steak. And I'm doing pretty good about that time. And they always say, do you want any dessert? And I say, where would I put it in my pocket? Because I'm full. Now, if I told you I was going to take you to Outback, how many of you would want to go? Oh, it's funny how all of you are raising your hands this time. Okay, now, here's what I'm going to say. God has invited me to His house. Why would anybody not want to go? They say they love God, but they're not a sheep. They're not one of His. Do you understand? Do you understand? Or maybe they're like Zach in the film. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to hear it. I belong to you, God, but I'm going to run my own life. They're not happy. They're not full. They're not content. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. I'm not sure they have eternal life. My point is, maybe they do. I'm not judging them. I'm just trying to help everybody to have that fullness. How do we do that? We got to enter into the truth. What is truth? What truth are we right now believing? What truth are we right now living? What truth do I need to think on, God? We just read Mark 5:33. Go to Luke 20:21. Then we're going to go to John 1. So Luke 20:21. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teach us the way of God truly. God, He didn't change depending on the crowd He was with. He spoke the truth, whether they liked it or not. John 1:14. And the Word of God, Jesus Christ, was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh. And dwelt, lived among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only one born of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, full of grace and truth. Next verse, John 1:17. Then we're going to go to John 3. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What is truth? John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or revealed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or clearly revealed, that they are wrought or done in God. Chapter 4, John 4. Then we're going to go to John 8. John 4, verse 23 and 24. These are two verses you might want to memorize. I've shared that with you before. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. What kind of worshipers? The true worshipers. That means there's false worshipers. Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Chapter 8. We're going to look at three different places there. Then we're going to go to John 14. So John 8, start with verse 32. What is truth? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you completely free? Are you free when people speak to you and say things and hurt you? Or do they bind you up and you get all mad, angry, upset, can't quit thinking about it, changes your whole day? Because, see, that means you're bound by what they say. You're letting them run your life. Who are you going to let run your life? In order to let God run your life, the more we read this word, can I give you a hint, please? Psalm 119, verse 18. When you go to read your Bible, Psalm 119, verse 18 is a prayer. You can look it up later. Write it down right now. You can look it up now. I don't care if you want to. But basically, it's like this. God, what is it you want me to see? The Bible says, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, open my eyes to see what you want me to see. When you go to read the Bible, don't just be looking for what you're looking for. There's a lot of people. I had a lady that I was at a car dealership, and I was talking to the car dealer guys, and there was, I don't even know, this lady worked there, and as I was talking and God was getting loose, people started coming and gathering around while I was talking. And this lady followed me out to my car, and she says, my husband works at a place where they print Bibles. And he reads the Bible all the time, and he talks the Bible all the time. She said, but when he talks, she said, it's different than when you talk. When you talk, it's like life. It's like something happening inside of me. It's like it's all alive. It's like I understand it. She said, I don't get anything out of it when he talks, except I kind of want to get away from him. But his whole life is given to printing and reading the Bible, because there's a difference. What are we believing? What are we living? If you're just doing things in the flesh, there's no life in it. When you go to read the Bible, just say, God, what is it you want me to see? Every day, read your Bible. Read at least three chapters in your Bible. Do you eat three times a day? I know Paula grazes all day, but the rest of you, do y'all eat three times a day? Well, then read your Bible three times a day. Watch this. Remember, sorry, did he say that? He really did. Isn't he the pastor? Yeah, man, look at what he did. Okay, are you ready? A few minutes ago, I asked you, how many of you want to live like Jesus? And all of you said, yes, by raising your hand. And then I said, but how many of you find yourself sinning, lying, getting mad at people, being indifferent, being selfish, judging people, mad at people, complaining? And everybody raised their hand. Do you want some help so that you get victory over that? Do you know what Romans 6:14 says? For sin shall not have dominion or power over you. But why does it? Why does that seem to be what we live? Can I tell you why? Because your flesh is stronger than your spirit. But there's some people, they don't seem to be having that like you do. Not that they're perfect, but their spirit seems to be stronger than their flesh. Why? Does anybody want to know? Because you've got to learn to starve your flesh and feed your spirit. That's right. You're grazing in the wrong place. So here's what we need to do. Feed our spirit man. Well, I don't feel like it. Oh, then you're going to feed your flesh and give it what it wants? When Sue was growing up, her mom didn't make her eat all her food. So when we met, what a thing. Okay. When I grew up, if they cooked it, you sat there and ate it. And if you didn't, I've sat at the table for hours. I learned to eat all the stuff I didn't want to eat.
I don't want it. It's green. Green,
you know, if it's green, it's good for you, unless it's on the bottom of a table or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm sorry, I was just trying to get your attention. Did I get it? Okay, now watch. I learned to eat whatever's put in front of me. I thank people for it. Sometimes Sue does these creations and she'll say, what do you think? And I'll go, it's different. I don't tell her what I really think because I don't want to hurt her feelings. She tried. Thanks for playing. Don't do that again. Okay. But I just tell her it's different. But I thank her for everything she fixes me. I thank her every meal. I'm thankful for it. But when I met her, she wouldn't eat just everything. So what she told her mom was, I like it, except I don't want any. I like it, except I don't want any. She didn't like it. She just didn't want it. But she found if she said it that way, it was nicer, you know. What is truth? What is truth? What truth are we believing? What truth are we living? John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 40. But now, Jesus said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. John chapter 8, verse 44 to 46. Jesus said, you, not talking to you, but he was talking to some religious leaders here. Amazing what he said to these religious leaders. He said, ye are of your father the devil. Who's your daddy? And the lust of your father, the strong evil desire of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not. He stayed not. He didn't remain in the truth, because there is no truth in him. The devil lies to us all the time. Our flesh lies to us all the time. The world lies to us all the time. I'm not going to tell you to memorize this. I'm going to just tell you to write it down. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The three enemies that everybody has, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your flesh is your enemy. You are not your flesh. Do you love Jesus? I'm glad two of you do. Okay. Do you love Jesus? But do you always live like you love Jesus? Okay, but you love Jesus. But your flesh doesn't love Jesus. Your flesh doesn't love truth. It loves a lie. The truth is, eating candy and Cokes, just cutting out Cokes, helped me be easier on Al's lap. Just cutting out Cokes took the oomph out of me sitting on Al's lap. Just cutting out Cokes. But my flesh is, I want a Coke. I like Coke. Give me another Coke. Another Coke. That was a good one. Now give me another one. That's what it says. But it's lying. The world will lie to you. The flesh and the devil. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? We get to either believe the truth or believe a lie. What truth are we believing right now? What lie are we believing right now? What truth are you believing? Remember I told you at the beginning, you need to ask God that question. Father, what truth do you want me to focus on right now? I told you where I started. The hair, the earring, the whole, you know, drugs, the whole thing. Rock and roll, you know, memorizing all the rock and roll songs, you know. You know one of my favorite songs used to be? Listen to that. Rolling Stones, hang on. Sympathy for the Devil. Now, is that stupid? And I've heard myself singing that through the years. And I went, and finally I got to a place where I said, I don't want that living in me anymore. And I confessed it and said, God, I'm sorry I ever listened to that. I'm sorry I took all that inside of me. But there's a lot of songs that I did that with. Because just like I memorized Scripture, well, I used to memorize all these hell songs. You know what I'm talking about? Songs that were about the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that song starts off, it says, please allow me to introduce myself. It's the devil. All the way through. And I wasn't so stupid back then that I didn't know it was the devil. I knew it was the devil. But I memorized it. Like, I wanted him. Well, guess what? I got him in my life. Do you want him in your life? But what are we thinking on? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can I just challenge you, please? I don't want to wait till January 1st. Can we, right now, make a decision? I want you to make two decisions. Okay? Number one, I'm going to start reading three chapters in my Bible every day. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm going to read the Word of God and just prove God if my life's going to be different or not. I'm going to read three chapters. And before I read, I'm going to say, God, please show me what you want me to see. That's my choice. Number two, if I invited you to Outback today, you see, that's my daughter. Okay. If I invited you to Outback today, is there anybody in here that would turn me down? You would turn me down? You don't like it? Okay. Anybody else? You don't like it? Huh? That's what I'm saying. Let's say I'm paying for it and you get anything you want. Is there anybody that would turn me down? Okay, there's one. Anybody else? I see. I got that. So you'd turn me down if I didn't take the girlfriend. Okay, I got it. I got it. So we'd have to take the grandson too. I see. Okay. I got it. I got it now. Okay. I got it. Here we go. Do you understand? Now, God invites you to his house. When the doors are open, he has an invitation. It's for the rest of your life. He's God himself is saying, would you like to come to my house? Do you see what I'm saying? We don't let anything stop that. When my boys said, but Dad, they said I might have to work on a Wednesday or Sunday. I said, you go back and you tell the owner. They said, Dad, he won't listen. They were looking at me going, you know, like this. I said, you go tell the owner I can't work on Wednesday night and I can't work on Sunday because I go to church and my dad said I can't miss church for anything. And they said, Dad, he won't give me. I said, just go tell him. And if he says no, then that's not where God wants you, because it's not. It is not an option. God's inviting us to his house. The answer is yes. We're not going to tell him when it's convenient, if I feel like it. Well, if I don't have to work. Well, if I have time. It is not an option. You know what he did? He went and told that boss. I'd like to work here, but my dad said I can't work on a Wednesday or a Sunday because we go to church and I can't miss church. And the man said, I respect that. He said, I will give you a try and I'll see how you work. And my son ended up working there for several years. And then when my second son went to work there, Jim, he told me the same thing. But Dad, because he had a friend, but Dad, so-and-so Paul or whoever it was, said that we have to work on Sunday. I said, it is not an option. God invites us to his house. We go to his house whenever the doors open. Okay? Okay, Dad, I'll tell him. He said, I really want to work there, though. John's worked there several years, and I'd really like to work there. He said, but I said, go tell him. So he went and told him. He said, I know. You're his brother, right? He says, I know. You have to go to church Wednesday and Sunday, right? Jim goes, that's right. He said, okay, I'll if you're half as good as your brother, I'll hire you, you know? And so he worked there for several years. And they never worked Wednesdays or Sundays. Period. Not one. Because why? Is anybody else getting that? Roxanne, I'm glad you're getting that. Anybody else? What truth are you believing? What truth are you living right now? If you think you're ugly, it's because somebody told you you're ugly, and you think you're ugly, and then you feel ugly, and you get around people, and you gotta, you know, I'm not saying he does this, but you know, you gotta wear your little hood because you're afraid anybody's gonna see you because you're ugly. You're not ugly. You're made in the image of God. Thank you, John. You're made in the image of God. You're not ugly. God loves you. Do you know how pretty you are to God? You know how pretty you are to God? He said, you are worth the blood of Jesus to me. He says in Psalm 18, I delight in you. He said in Genesis 1, you're made in my image. Psalm 139, he said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalms, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because you're getting to come home and he's like, look up! Another one's coming home! I've been longing for you for 50 years or 80 years or 2 months. Whatever it is. You, Jesus. When God gave, you know, I didn't get all this overnight. I didn't get all this overnight, but I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. And I just kept believing it and trying to move on what it said. And if you do the simple things, like I'm going to be in church when the doors are open, it's like other things start coming to you. But if you don't even get that down, you're going to miss other stuff. You got to get the simple stuff because you got to have something to build on. You follow me? Do you know, I'm going to pick on Al for a minute. I think it's pick on Al day. Do you know Yeah, but we have different motivations. Okay. You know, did you know that when Al, this could be said about anybody in this room, but I don't know if you know this or not. Do you know that when Al turns his focus on God, he actually meets a need in God's heart that no one else on the planet can? Because God, if you remember the big thing of God being like a multifaceted diamond, each one of us reflects a facet of God, like Sue reflects the whisper of God. I reflect the shout of God. We're completely different, but we're both made in His image. When Sue turns to God and loves on Him, she meets a need in His heart. But when I turn and love Him, I meet a different need in His heart. Janiyah has 8 or 10 or 12 kids, something like that. And when the little one, Kai Ann loves on her, oh, she does that. But when Sahara loves on her, it's completely different. She still feels love, but it's like, if Tippy went, I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to listen to you. It hurts her mommy's heart. It doesn't matter if the other 7 or 8 or 12, however many there are, kids are swarming on her like ants on a banana. It doesn't matter. Yes, she's feeling their love, but she has a longing inside of her that only Tempe can fill. You meet a need in God's heart that no one else in this room does. You meet a need in God's heart that no one else in this room does. He loves you particularly. He loves you especially. You're His favorite. I can tell you that about everybody in this room. Janiyah, I go to call her and she'll say, or she'll call me and she'll say, this is your favorite daughter. Of course, I got 3 daughters, right? So she'll say, and they all do it. They all 3 do it, whichever one I'm talking to. This is your favorite daughter. Right, see? And I'll say, you're my favorite daughter named Janiyah, or you're my favorite daughter in Grand Rapids, or something. You know what I mean? I always, because they usually have another one on the other line, and if I don't do that, then they're like, yeah! You know, so I don't want to hear it, so I always qualify it. What I'm saying is, I love them. They love me. We meet a need in each other's heart. God wants to fill your heart. But He wants to fill your heart with Himself. Do you understand? What truth are you believing? That's a truth. God loves you 100% right now. But I haven't been in church in a while. God loves you 100% right now. But I did this. God loves you 100% right now. But I didn't do this. And I know He told me. And I said, no. God loves you 100% right now. He doesn't love you more just because you do better. So quit walking around with your chest stuck out, you know, because you think you did real good. Because we all mess up every day. And He loves you. He loves you completely. She can't help it. She's in your family. They're all preachers. I already know. Nuts don't fall too far from the tree. Started with me. I didn't make it. John, where we were? Chapter 8, verse 44. Let's read 1, 2, 3 more verses and we'll be done. It says about the devil, when he speaketh a lie, well, let's end with verse 44 where he said, he was a murderer from the beginning and he abode not in the truth. That word abode means he lived not or he didn't stay in the truth. And then Jesus said, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. People either tell the truth or they tell lies. All of us are a mixture. Do you want to be a liar? Or do you want to be a truth speaker? But sometimes you find yourself lying. What you need to do, can I give you a truth? I'm sorry, I'm going to add another verse. Can I give you another truth that I was thinking about earlier that you need to know? 1 John 1:9. And this is not, it is not an option. You have to memorize this verse. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just or right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now watch this. Jesus, I'm sorry, I just hit Larry. Jesus, I would, but then how would I get his head back on? But anyway, here we go. So I just hit Larry. Jesus, I'm sorry, I hit Larry. Will you forgive me? And he says, yes. And then what we need to say is, thank you that you have forgiven me. You just ask him, and he said he would forgive you if you ask him. Not just if you go, sorry, God. No, no, no. God, I was wrong. I hit him. Will you forgive me? I'm the one who caused your death. I'm the one, it was my sin. That was part of what caused his pain. Will you forgive me? He said, yes. Now will you forgive yourself? Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Do you understand? And you're going to start learning to live in forgiveness. Quit beating yourself up. And then you fall down because you got to go drink again to get out of it. Or you got to go watch some movies or do some kind of, what's that thing? Entertainment to feel better. Start learning to forgive yourself. That is a truth. If we confess our sin, confess means to say the same thing God says and mean the same thing God means. God, it was wrong for me to hit Larry. Will you please forgive me? And he says, yes, I already paid for it. I forgive you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. You get it? Now, of course, I need to come and ask Larry to forgive me. And he may not. But when I come and do it sincerely, whether he forgives me or not, I had a lady the other day on the phone. I said, will you forgive me? She goes, no! I said, well, thank you. I didn't say my normal smart mouth words. I just said, thank you. And we're done. Now, I did what I was supposed to do. Now it's between her and God. Do you understand? Just if you confess your sin, he says, I forgive you. And now, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Instead of, have you ever, and I know you have, so raise your hand, otherwise you're probably lying. You ready? You say, Jesus, please forgive me. And then you remember the verse that he says he'll forgive you, but in your heart you go, I don't think he really forgives me because I did it. This is the 10th time I've done it today. I'm going to probably do it again. I'm no good, because that person made me so mad. All that other stuff comes spewing out of your face. You see what I'm saying? Have you ever done that? Okay, you ready? Jesus, will you forgive me? I'm sorry, say it with me. Jesus, will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. What does Jesus say? Oh, I'm sorry. I bet he says it louder than that. Come on, fine. Okay, and then you say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. And then when the devil tries to tell you, nah, he's not forgiving you because you did it again. Do you remember that where Peter said, Master, how often do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? The dude's hit me 7 times today. Do I got to forgive him all 7 times? And Jesus said, no. I don't want you to forgive him 7 times a day. Peter said, good, because I think after number 6, I ought to be able to hit him. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I meant. He's like, I don't mean 7 times a day. He said, but I want you to forgive him 70 times 7, or as many times as he needs it. Do you get it? As often as they need it. Now, if you're married, and you're having a problem with your mate, that doesn't mean God wants you to be a doormat. You come and talk to my wife or myself. You know, if you're a female, you talk to her. If you're a male, you talk to me. And because I believe in biblical separation, sometimes people have to be separated so somebody gets their attention. And then we do counseling with them and we help them. And you don't run back just because your heart's sorry for them and they say they're sorry. I'm sorry, but we're going to work on the way they live. And sometimes you got to stay apart for a while. Okay? I'm just telling you what works. Okay? Because we're not into this divorce and do it again and again. You know, I'll go find a better one. They're not. They're all the same. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're all the same. We're all selfish. And we're all sinners. And we all make mistakes. And we all mess up. And we're all selfish. Got it? So it's not like you're going to find a better one. I don't care what you think. You're not going to find a better one. You already got the one you're supposed to have. That's it. Now let's make this one work. Okay? That was just in parentheses. Okay? What truth are you believing? What lie are you believing? I'm challenging you right now. You said you want your life to radically change. Please, please, please. I want to end this thing, but I don't want to say the words, if you could just get this, like Glenn says, you know. I think he coined that phrase, you know, if I could just get this. Aren't you the one who made that up? Okay, but it goes like this. If you could just get this. You ready? We are either believing a truth or a lie. Ask God right this minute. Ask God. God, what truth am I believing or what lie am I believing? Please show me. Because there's... Do you know why you're here? Because you had to go through some heavy-duty stuff to come here. You had to go through some heavy-duty stuff before you'd start coming to church, period. But then to come here, you had to go through some even heavier-duty stuff to come here. Because this is a training center for ministers. And you're a minister. And you're going to minister the life of God. And we care about your life every second of every day. By the way, I want you to know something. There are a number of you in here. A lot of you, all of you through the years, but there's a number of you that you're going through some real hard stuff, and I pray and say, God, can I help them? Can I have them come live with us? Can I give them a job? Can I buy them something, you know, give them some money? And if I haven't done it, it's because God told me no. Because I have done it. I care about you. I would do whatever. But you know what God has told me for a number of years now? Harvey, go do tubs and don't even talk to him or be available to him. I'm going to make you so busy you can't even talk to him, including Pastor Glenn. No, I'm saying about me being available to him. God keeps me so busy because God said, Harvey, I want to get you out of the way. Because you're teaching things, but they only need it once a week. Okay? And he says, now they've got choice to do it. And I'm going to give them little Mr. Gentle Softy, Pastor Glenn, and Roxanne, you know, and my wife, you know, and other ones around here to love on them and whatever. But they can't handle you on a regular basis. And I'm going to get you out of the way, and I don't want you talking to them. And that's what I do. But I love you and I care about you. I want you to know that. I care about your life. I want to help you. And I ask God, can I do this? Can I help them here or there? And either God says no, or he just gets quiet, which I already know means no. Because I told my wife this morning or last night, I don't think God's telling me this, but I keep thinking this, what do you think? And she said, I've already gone through that myself, but she said, I don't believe it's God. And when she started saying why, I said, that's exactly what I felt like God told me, but I still, my heart goes out to the people. And she's like, God has a different answer. we have to be willing, we have to realize that God takes us through situations to get our attention. When Janiah speaks to one of her little munchkins, if they listen, everything's fine at home. If they don't listen, then it's not fun. And she has to use more stronger measures to get their attention. She doesn't want to spank their little bottom. She doesn't want to give them a timeout. She doesn't want to take away their little video games. She doesn't want to tell them they have to go sit in a corner or can't go outside when the others do or can't go to Nani and Papa's house because they didn't obey. She doesn't want to do that. But if they don't listen, she doesn't want them to grow up and end up going to jail and all the other problems that happen. Because when you make small payments as children, you don't have to make large payments as adults. And anybody in jail will tell you that. They wish, you know, I mean, if they're honest, you know what I'm saying. If they, when you're alone with them, deep down inside, they'll say, man, I wished my mom and dad would have been there. I wish they would have spanked me. I wish they would have followed through. I wish they wouldn't let me just run and do whatever I wanted. It felt good when I was a kid, but now that I'm an adult, I don't have discipline. And life is hard, and I have to keep going through all this stuff because God's trying to teach us things. Our ways are not His ways. And He wants to bless your life. I'm telling you, He loves you more than you'll ever probably believe this side of glory. Even if you start believing it, I know He loves me more than I realize. But I realize that He loves me. I get so excited sometimes, I just start smiling. My face hurts from smiling, thinking about it. But I know He loves me more than that. Because I'm limited in my understanding. Do you understand? From this point forward, we're making a decision. We're going to read three chapters a day. We're going to see if God's real or not. We're going to let Him speak to us. I'm telling you, if you let God's seed into your life, the seed of God, remember Matthew 13, the sower went forth to sow? The seed is the Word of God. If you sow, let the Word of God be sown in your heart like seed, it's going to bring forth a huge God crop in your life. And you tell Him, I'm willing to start over. Everything I've known up till now, I could be wrong on. So I'm willing to let go of everything that I know of to get the truth from You. I don't want to believe lies anymore. Teach me how to walk in truth. And teach me how to recognize when it's a lie so I can, nope, I don't want to follow that. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Every time we go to talk to one of you individually, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I like to ask the question, if you had to guess, what do you think God wants you to do? And almost every time I ask somebody that, they tell me exactly what God wants them to do. I'm asking God, what do you want? He says, I want this. I said, well, if you had to guess, what do you think? Well, I think God wants this, but, and you know what? Because you already know. He's talking to you. But we got to let go of what we're holding on to get what He wants to give us. Are you ready to go forward with Jesus? Okay, hold your arms out like this and kind of lean a little toward me because I'm hugging you. Now, any of you want to just feel that in the flesh, I'm up here, okay? Because I love you to pieces. Jesus, You are so awesome. I love all these little sheeps, Lord, even if they act like goats sometimes. I love these little sheeps. And Jesus, thank You for bringing us together. Thank You for how You meet a need in my heart. Just as I see each one of them just walking in truth, speaking truth, desiring truth, just showing up, I get excited. Jesus, we need You to teach us truth. And we need to learn how to walk in truth. So help us to recognize the lies and to ask you, just constantly keep asking you, what is the truth here? What is the truth in this situation? What is the truth about this situation I'm going through, this conversation I'm in? What is the truth? I'm all mad. I'm upset. Things aren't working. What is the truth here? What is it you want? Father, please show me. You're the daddy. I'm the child. Please put the cookies on the bottom shelf so I can get a hold of them. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Amen.